Hello everybody, I'm Chris.
I'm Craig.
And I'm the entity known as Jack.
And we are watching, and we are hearing, you are listening to...
Yeah, I can hear a little bit.
Oh, here it comes.
A really cool film.
Here it comes.
who's singing that?
I don't know, actually. We thought it was going to be...
Denise Van Allen.
She sings it at the end.
She sings it at the end, yeah.
Neil Morrissey.
This is lots of shots of a car wash.
Yeah, a taxi going through a car wash. Run for your life!
It has to be said, watching this on DVD... Well, hang on. Here we come with the first cameos. And who do we have in the cameo?
Barry Cryer.
Wow.
Right, that's fine.
Christmas Begins is in this.
There's Barry Cryer.
Whoa!
Oh, Rolf and Cliff. Rapist.
And Cliff. Yeah. And Cliff Richard.
Yay! The blameless Cliff Richard.
Well said. That's Mick Wilton's in this.
Yeah.
I told you.
Yeah,
I told
Chris
you
said you'd be excited. There's Vicky Michelle.
Yep.
Who's that man?
Don't know.
He must be someone famous, though. That's why he's there. Oh. Jeffrey Holland's in this.
Yeah. Everybody's in it.
Didn't you know this about it? He got all his mates to turn up for nothing.
Jeremy Zimmerman
to give them
is
money.
My hero, can I say.
I've been in that building. That's the Institute of Engineers. There you go.
Yep.
To give them money to... everyone's been in that, look. It's one of those places that hires out all the time.
Yeah, there's mechanical engineers.
That's it, yeah.
And that little taxi stop there, is that not the one at Chelsea Bridge?
Executive producer, Vicky Michelle. Excuse me?
So this is Danny Dyer doing his thing. He's a taxi driver, round about.
He's a very hard-working taxi driver, look at him.
Yeah.
Doing the thing.
He's not a racist, but...
No,
he's not racist. Good lad.
Do any of us have taxi anecdotes? I once got a taxi back...
Not any adult could tell.
It was my friend's... London taxi, quick story. My friend's stag weekend, we forgot or didn't realise that we couldn't get out to Luton Airport on the train because, on Sunday they close all the services.
Okay.
Ray Cooney and John, the great John Luton. Mm-hmm. Luton, as I just mentioned.
Oh, yeah.
And so we had to get a taxi, which cost us £100. And we got in, the man got into a fracas with a black driver near Wembley, and he hung out the cab and shouted, "Fuck right off, you can't! Tarmac!" and pointed at the ground. It was charming.
Wow, it is charming. I'm now expecting every single person in this to be...
They pretty much are.
Well, who are they?
You're about to...
No.
Okay, here we go.
The point of all of this, there is an actual plot, and Run For Your Wife was a massively successful farce.
Uh-huh.
Ray Cooney wrote and directed it.
Yep.
Can you be massively successful and a farce at the same time?
Hey. I think you'll find, is Judi Dench.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah. Yep. Because when we first watched this,
it was when
she appeared, and you think... Because you think, the others, you're like, oh, yeah, fair enough.
Vicky Michelle.
Yeah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But then you're like, Judi Dench? Really?
Yeah.
Same Judi Dench. A lot of Chinese takeaway is called Chinese takeaway.
Yeah. There was literally no house like that in central London.
Batter.
Whoa, that's great.
Boy,
so was this film done as like some kind of tax avoidance scam or something like that?
No, I think it was probably just some sort of a...
It was time to get it on film.
I imagine it's probably some sort of charity thing.
Preserve it for the ages.
Yeah. I remember there being... Because it was... hang on, I've got the box here.
Well, here, Jack, I'm not sure about these custard donuts.
No, I like custard donuts. What was the problem with them?
Don't taste very nice.
Okay.
No. Now, this is 2012.
Uh-huh.
But I remember in the run-up to this being released on the video, and there's a lot of chat about it being released in the cinema.
Uh-huh. I bet it did really well in the cinema, didn't it?
I think they're right in saying that in the opening weekend it took just over £600.
Wow!
Yeah.
Per cinema?
No. In total. It took about a year for it to come out on DVD because we were fucking waiting
for it.
We
were on it like a
cab. Did you see it in the cinema?
No.
Nobody saw it in the cinema. I think I've just explained.
That would have been like 5% of their overall
gross. Yeah, it's true, yeah.
But you could have improved their overall gross by about 5% had you decided to go.
There is a slight problem with doing this as a commentary in that this, I may actually own the only copy of this in Britain.
Wow.
So, I mean, just watch it without watching it. listen to this without watching it, to be honest, is probably the best idea.
And we also were using the sound because there are, of course, no subtitles.
No.
And we didn't suppose anybody would give a fuck. If you happen to own the rights to Run For Your Life,
then well done.
Then, dullion. Yeah. Us doing this is the least of your problems.
Yeah. We don't think you can afford a lawyer.
You could get at least 50,000 people, which is our listenership.
We'll see you in the very small claims court.
Yeah. Already we can see how bad.
Look at Denise.
Denise Van Outen is. Look at her. She's doing a fucking funny stagger.
So what year was this, sorry, did you say?
2012.
And I actually quite like Denise Van Outen. Look at that. The picture's actually soft.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
No, there's
This may have been shot on video.
There's a whole lot of technical fuck ups on this, I think.
Why?
You pointed out in the past.
Oh, right, yeah.
So this is the plot. He's running two families, two missuses, either side of London, which is fine as long as he's on the go, but he's got clouted in the head and they're going to get in touch with both of them. They're both going to meet him. What's he going to do?
That is Sarah Harding.
Are you a big fan of her work?
Formerly of
Girls Aloud.
That was it, yeah. I was going to say Club 7. She was in Girls Aloud.
No, it wasn't Pop Idol, it was Pop Stars, wasn't it?
I can't remember that.
That's the series which basically just everybody was crying in all the time. Do you remember that? Pop Stars Rivals?
Pop Stars Rivals.
And it had the chap in the boys' band who gave up his place because he was too old.
No.
It's Derek Griffiths.
Yeah.
Nose.
See what they're doing here?
Yeah.
Well.
She actually begins her performance at like sort of 11 and has nowhere to go with it, Van Outen. If anything, Sarah Harding's better.
She is better than two. Is she somebody?
Don't know.
Well, no, I don't know.
No.
Not well shot, is it? Ross Abbott.
Now, see for that.
Benny Cribbins.
See for this. That's less than a minute. They're on the back of the box.
Yeah. Are they? Yeah. For that?
Yeah.
Wow.
Now,
why
actually,
is he called John Smith?
The comedy.
Comedy effect.
Because comedy.
Actually, Danny's Dyers.
Yeah.
He's alright in this. He does his best. Yeah. You know, he does his thing.
For a man who suggests you should slash women's faces so nobody fancies them, he's actually quite charming.
Charming slasher.
Yeah. So this was a huge hit on stage.
Massive success.
And you can imagine, talking about this yesterday on a wet Wednesday night in Bournemouth, going along and seeing it, having a great old time.
Yeah. Or even going to like the Victoria Palace or something, or the White Hall.
Mm-hmm.
And there being a big set with lots of doors.
Yeah.
People coming in and out all the time, rushing backwards and forwards, and noises off. It'd be great fun. You'd be having a hoot. This does not translate.
Do we think they've expanded the story for the film or not?
They expanded it in a cinematic universe.
the CUNY cinematic universe.
So how did you first get wind of this then? What was your first experience
my first knockings of it were there started to appear lots of stories about the disaster that was the production of it.
Right, okay.
And how they kept on running out of money and they were then they couldn't get distribution and all this. And would it ever see the light of day?
Mm.
And I kept on hoping that when it appeared, it would actually turn out to be great.
Mm.
And it's not.
It's not.
It's fucking terrible.
Do we believe that a cabbie in London could afford to keep two such reasonably nice houses?
No, not unless it's drug dealing as well.
So yes, then.
Taxi drivers would never do.
Oh. So there's a wee touch of Run For Your Wife in the song there.
Mm.
Who's that?
Who's this lady?
Neighbour.
Oh, I see.
Who is she? Isn't she the woman who used to be in EastEnders?
Or
I don't recognise her. That's funny.
Oh, lovely. That's the banter.
There she is.
Yeah, there she is.
She can't even open a window.
No.
Wait, watch out for the scene where she has to react on a stairwell. She actually runs round the corner. of a stairwell, remember?
Yeah.
We run around the corner. And then she has to look aghast. So she does, like, aghast, like Lillian Gish would have done for comedy effect in the silent films. Like, do aghast. Take a wee step back.
Has she always been shit, Denise Van Outen? Because I thought she was always quite charming and quite likeable.
Well, she never had to act.
In what? Yeah.
In that Big Breakfast. Obviously, I listened to the Today programme, so I don't know. But wasn't she much loved in the Big Breakfast?
She co-presented with Johnny Vaughan. I can't say I liked either.
There's nothing to like there.
But she was popular. And then there was Johnny and Denise.
Johnny and Denise.
Paradise.
Yeah. And then there was that something for the weekend thing, which was just embarrassing.
Hey, there is no more.
Well, that was horrible. The bank sort of like Point of Cox.
Yeah, it was dreadful.
That's right, Point of Cox. Denise Van Outen.
It was a documentary.
Did she not sing the theme to that as well? Point of
Cox. Point of the Cox.
Oh,
Point
of the Cox.
Now, right there, there was a sort of video stagger, a frame stagger, that's actually in the film.
Mm. You need to keep us abreast of the stuff in this.
Mm. Now, much of it also involves not understanding blocking or basically crossing the line. The film crosses the line repeatedly.
Or lighting. I like the way when they were doing the set dressing, they just said, right, what are the actual things that are going to be used? Because that's all we need.
Yeah.
Neil Morrissey's actually all right in this.
This was his bankruptcy year, though, wasn't it?
I think that's true.
Do you think they're all on like a royalty cut?
When he got into the property thing.
First check rolled in for £1.67.
He rounded up.
Brown's Bar in Larne in West Wales.
Yeah, it went bankrupt, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. Yeah. It was the bar that Dylan Thomas drank in.
Oh,
for some reason he bought that and tried to turn it into a gastro pub or something and lost all his money.
Yeah,
and I think he had bought a block of flats or something as well.
He always plays slightly stupid people, doesn't he?
He does, yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And he shagged Les Dennis's wife.
That's right.
Who I think is also in this.
Texas Hold'em.
So I don't know who that actor is.
No, I don't know who that is either.
No.
Come on, Neil.
Oh, Jesus.
He's not good in this, actually.
No. Look how they've painted the sets as well.
So is he covering for him? Is that like his parent?
No, he's just a bit of a div at the moment.
No, but he sort of gets involved in covering it up for him and whatever.
All right, I get it.
The London Evening Echo.
What do we think of the farce genre?
I don't think I've ever really seen a proper full-on Whitehall farce.
Not a Whitehall one, but I've seen, I think it was Rookery Nook.
Oh, Rookery Nook, but that's a venerable old piece of
I saw that with Andy Gray in it, who's famous as a farceur in Scotland, and he was tremendous. I mean, literally, walking off stage and appearing two seconds later to walk on in a different costume.
I've never seen Noises Off. Have you seen Noises Off?
No, I believe that's very good.
Well, it's meant to be immense.
A terrible film version of it, I believe. By Michael Winner.
Yeah, but it's got Sly in it.
Yeah.
So Michael Winner.
I've also seen The Misanthrope.
I think we could get a vibe into it.
At the Old Vic in London. Starring Tom...
Is that a restoration?
Holland. Is it Tom Hollander?
Right. Tom Hollander. It would totally be Tom Hollander.
Actually, I don't think it was... It's a French one.
Is that like a Molière thing?
Yeah. But the version that I saw was... It had been readapted or whatever by John Mortimer, and Tom Hollander was in it. That was really good because he was doing the same thing about In and Out.
Well, finally, you should say that. I think therefore the only, if Molière counts, I saw. I must now. It must have been 1988 or 89. Anyway, it doesn't matter. It was Ricky Fulton did his last Panto with the Kings.
Oh right, yeah,
that was finished. It was immense. Simon Walker. Then he retired from Panto.
Yeah.
But in the summer, as part of, I think it was part of Mayfest, the cultural festival in Glasgow, they did a production of, it was A Wee Touch of Class, which was an adaptation of Molière.
Yeah.
It was him and his wife,
and
Walter Carr and whatever. And it was fucking immense.
Yeah, so that's quite a famous production, isn't it?
Yeah, it was absolutely immensely fun.
I like the fact that Fulton was able to do all that sort of different stuff like that. And he was tremendously...
Yeah, well, and as it transpires, he was at that time he was on the start of his Alzheimer's.
Right.
But he was still out there doing it.
I seem to remember when I was really young seeing Jimmy Logan on some farce, but...
Did you?
Yeah.
What was it? Jimmy Logan. Is the voice. Jimmy Logan in Sausages is the voice.
Sussy song, pull his otter.
No idea what it is.
He doesn't realise yet that there's trouble a brewing.
Oh, I see.
Except he's just realised that his pal said yes to the paper coming.
Oh, I see. So it's not going to be public.
Jesus.
But the farce as a medium.
Yeah.
I have quite a lot of respect for it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Quite
yeah.
a difficult thing to write, I think.
Do you remember, one of the only times I didn't know who Ray Cooney was, because I don't think it has much pull up
here.
No, it's quite an English thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Brian Ricks.
Brian Ricks and his Whitehall farces and whoops, there go my trousers and all that sort of thing.
Yeah. No Sex Please Were Racist.
Are they like the film of No Sex Please?
Yeah, so it's got The Great Ronnie Corbett in it.
The Great Ronnie Corbett. And
I remember that
and everybody else.
At Christmas thing.
Yes, like, yes, yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's when that sort. Yeah, it must have been about 91.
I think
Christmas,
you're probably
91.
Right, yeah. On the nose, sir.
Yeah, and I really enjoyed it. When it was on the stage and it ran for like fucking 3 years solid or something, Kenneth Williams knocked it back.
Oh.
And he didn't want to be doing it. And his Peter Reid, his agent, was always casting it up to him. He was always knocking things back.
Not Peter Reid, the former Sunderland manager.
No, Peter Reid.
I know nothing about football except that people used to sing, Peter Reid, Peter Reid, Peter Reid's got a monkey's head.
But, so the only time I think the first time I'd ever seen Ray Cooney was on an episode of Challenge Annika.
Okay.
So, where she was challenged.
Or the challenge show, she always called it. Didn't she, when she was talking to someone? A bit of false modesty.
The challenge, right. Yeah.
Hello, it's Annika from the challenge
show. I don't think there's anything false about her modesty. She's a very fine woman.
Challenge Annika.
Leave her alone.
And she was challenged to produce in like a 2 days or something.
This
a farce. Yeah. With a cast, a famous cast, famous farce for the cast,
yeah.
At a theatre in London that had to be simultaneously broadcast on radio.
Did you just say that can't be done?
She went mad because I'm going to pictures. No, and she got Ray Cooney to write it, and it went on in a theatre in London. It was simultaneously broadcast on Radio 2.
Was it a great success?
It wasn't very funny, but it was on. I think the thing was that they managed to get it on. And as a matter of fact fans, I was once on Challenge Annika.
No,
I certainly. Oh,
what was the challenge? Find the most belligerent man in Scotland.
Done it. Top clock. When she said it's Annika for the challenge show, did you say it's fucking Challenge
Annika? Challenge Annika, get it right, you gas bitch.
So come on,
bolt your
story.
Rocket.
you can take us behind the veil and reveal the truth.
1992.
I'm not sure I want to go behind Annika's
veil.
1992. I bet it's all like orchestrated and set up and everything.
And it was when I lived in Millport, and we just not long moved there with the cafe, and round the back of the island was a thing called the Hush Hush, which was like a chain of. During the war, like radar installations, and they were big, you know, flat roof buildings.
Oh yeah,
you see them on the coast, just dotted around.
Definitely,
I'm sure
yeah.
you do in the south coast of England as well.
I have to stop myself becoming obsessed with things like that. It's something I go like looking for.
Yeah, so it was owned by the Church of Scotland, and they wanted it turned into a retreat, you know, like like kids from places like Easterhouse and that could come down. So they needed to build a block of, like a dormitory block and a gym and things. There was a little something there, but it wasn't very much. And she had to arrive, and she had to get this built in like one weekend in 3 days.
And let me guess, you were living in a fucking caravan in the grounds.
No.
She had to get you moved.
No, it just so happened that we were along the front at a friend's of my mum and dad's, and there was a party going on. It was like an Olympic-themed party. So people were dressed up as being in the Olympics.
You're really
and things
about,
like that.
You're all about the Olympics.
All about the Olympics. Yeah. I love all that fucking shit. I mean, I only missed out on the 92 Olympic team. I was
Jeffrey
going,
Holland, ladies and gentlemen.
Jeffrey Holland.
I was almost Montserrat Caballé.
And is that another woman from?
No, it's not one from anywhere.
So she was happy to go back. Remember, she had that big pink and yellow scooter buggy thing.
Oh, yeah.
And she saw us all and went, "Oh, this is fabulous! Oh, we've got to get you on camera." And they. Whatever, and that was it.
Oh, so you're just in a wee passing shot?
Yeah, just that. But the real story,
behind the scenes, just sort of waiting for
folks. You know, I think you should give up your job in the hospital and find a place where you could maybe write about things that have just recently happened and then have people read those words that you've written.
You should.
Nah. I've never worked. And I'm sure this happened quite a lot in Challenge Annika, the Challenge programme.
The Challenge programme, yeah.
She got drunk and couldn't be arsed doing it.
The contract for the job had already been awarded to a local firm. And there was only was one major local building firm that employed three or four guys, and it was enough work to keep them going for the whole winter. And then they came in and did it. Wow. So that firm, I won't mention their names, refused to take any part.
Let's not give them free publicity.
And they came to them and said, the challenge programme came and said, can we use your vans and your yard and all that?
Wow.
And he went, guys, get fuck, you've just done me. I'm going to have to lay two guys off now.
Wow.
Sorry to hear that. So can that, that was good timing, wasn't it? Neil Morrissey just said, sorry to hear that. I am too.
But they got the thing built and
So the kids were okay?
The kids are fine.
Wow. I'd invite Sharon Janica to sue us as well as whoever holds copyright.
If she dares
take us to small claims
court. I'm just giving you nothing about
So since you two have been talking about Sharon Janica, Mr. Neil Morrissey has been brought in to the bigamy state of affairs. Okay.
Is there also a technical thing?
Yeah, probably.
Jeffrey Holland's on screen for quite a lot.
He is quite a big
compared to some of the others.
Yeah, compared to Cliff Richard, so you think you'd want to have a nice aerial shot of him. Another technical thing is some of the voices sit too high in the sound mix.
Interesting.
So they just sound really odd. They've obviously been ADR'd by people, because obviously that woman that couldn't act.
Yeah.
And then that wasn't the house they were in earlier.
No.
It was further up. Yeah. Was that in his flat?
No, I think you're right. I think it actually was further up before.
I love how they've just like done them in really, really bold colours so you can tell them
and
apart.
And it's like, oh, that's a man's flat, so there's a couple of flat.
I think he's meant to be in Neil Morris's flat at this point, to be
fair. He's a lad. There's a football post and a couple of Formula One flags.
Yeah, that's it.
Took all of 8 minutes to set direct. I'm not sure it was even actually directed, this. I think it was... They just got lots of people to say stuff and it was stitched together by gypsies.
They also... They also can't keep a camera still.
No, they can't, can they?
It's just, you know...
And not in a good way. Not in a sort of Scorsese way.
No. No, there's no touch of evil. Track and shot.
No. It's just basically...
No, shopping trolleys, and it's just a slight tilt
it's
in the room.
It's just sliding down the...
Oh, they don't know how to tighten the tripod, and it's just moving down slowly.
Well, it's probably not shopping trolleys, because they probably didn't have the pound to put in the trolley.
The budget for this, I think we're right in saying, was £900,000.
I don't know what the fuck it was.
And it's all there on the screen.
Probably filming permits for London.
They spent it all on one-tone paint for B&Q.
Now, I don't know what's going on here. I do not know.
Cake.
See, there's that actress again. I think this was... Oh, look, she's actually waiting for her cue there.
Yeah.
To put the jacket on.
All right, there's a jacket on. Is this when she does the wee...
Perpetually angry.
Oh, Jesus.
Here we go. This must be the bit you're talking about.
You don't have to walk around a flat that size.
No.
No, you don't. I want to try a custard, one of these.
Yeah, that's what
side, side.
Custard. Okay, that's...
I don't think there's anything wrong with that custard. It's fusty. Sat in my car for a few hours last night.
Smells nice. For bits.
The foxes were running away when I came out.
Smells nice.
Somebody's going into that cake, aren't they?
I would think so.
Oh, look, oh, she's doing a sort of run.
Really bad, isn't it?
Oh, now, am I right in remembering that somebody sits in that cake?
Yeah.
And there is therefore simulated shit?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm mad about that.
I think it might involve Neil Morrissey. Poor Davey Dyer is doing his real best here, isn't he?
Davey Dyer!
Right, look.
No, that's his house. No, Gary's the other character in Men Behaving Badly.
That's right.
He was Tony, wasn't he?
Thanks, mate.
Mr. Bars.
So obviously he's trying to avoid being in the photo in the paper because he's got two wives.
What about TV farces? Do you remember Joking Apart, Stephen Moffat series?
Yeah.
No, I don't know.
Yeah. That was a proper farce, wasn't it?
Yeah.
In the
last series but one of Doctor Who.
What other comedies?
We'll get letters about that.
What other TV comedies constitute farce? Hello.
Alolo's, yes, probably a farce.
Faulty Towers.
Faulty Towers is largely a farce.
So what are the what's the characteristics then? What do you need for something to be a farce?
I think you need a lot of movement, and you need what... I think actually ITV do them more. I think they're what is the venerable Steve Williams describes largely as shouty comedies, which ITV
they are
do.
Quite shouty comedies, yeah.
So things like... Never the Twain was a sort of farce.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's BB. Was that? No, that's ITV.
Yeah, that's ITV.
Yeah, they're sort of To a great extent, Rising Damp was a farce.
Yeah.
Superior, as it was.
But what constitutes a farce?
Being shouty. Well, lots of movement.
I think several levels of action in different places connected, and a deception that has to be upheld, which it perpetuates more complications as it goes on.
Comedy generated by misunderstanding and coincidence.
Yes. So isn't it that there's a deception at the beginning and everything else is then a consequence of that?
Yeah.
Sure. That sounds about right.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah. Sort of that.
And farting and Vickers.
There are people who do 4 years at university and,
and slamming doors. Right
there, yeah.
Yeah.
Darling.
No, that's didn't you do whole courses on this sort of shit up at Bridge of Allen Catering College?
I don't know what I wish.
Oh, look.
Oh, man.
Why is she constantly surprised that he's in the room?
Yeah.
It's his house. Yeah.
Can I say that my dad had an office chair that looked
like
that.
Way she's standing.
Yeah.
I want to tell you, my dad had an office chair that looked like that. He bought it second hand. And on really sunny days, it stank of a dead man's fart.
Oh.
We actually had to get rid of it. It was one of those things where you could sit. Obviously, when we went to buy, it must have been a cold day. As soon as there's a little shaft of sunlight, honestly, the reek that came out of this.
Please, no.
It's terrible. I quite like that.
Did it belong to the gaffer?
You do know, actually, that was the spirit of Piggy Hook.
Piggy Hook this and Piggy Hook that.
We've not heard the last of him.
Look at his man's flat. It's got a dartboard and a tiny football.
Mm.
Oh, now how long have we actually been now just stuck to?
We're probably about.
We're turning 26 minutes into this.
Yeah, we're and still really, the way through.
Well, we're still stuck in this flat.
Yeah, there's an
it
awful lot.
It doesn't feel very
business.
Fast yet.
No, it's not very fat. He's got no pacing whatsoever.
It does get a wee bit more when they start hitting the road.
Yeah, but the pacing is not. I mean, it's a. The fact is, if you're going to direct a farce for film, it's very difficult anyway, I think, because it is a theatrical thing.
Tell you what.
But also, you need a better director than a first-time director who's like 80 fucking 7 or something.
That's not a cameo by Jeffrey Holland.
No,
that's a leading
part. That's a big role, yeah. No. Probably the only one he's ever had.
Where's he on the billing then on the DVD? Does he make it on the front? He doesn't, does he?
No, he doesn't. That's really quite awful, actually. Mm. Christopher Biggins gets higher up than him, so to speak. I like those pictures on the wall. Look at them.
What are they? Is there women holding messages?
Printed off on a printer in the house. Who's that?
No, oh, he's been in things as well.
Who are they?
They must be in things. D.S. Travel. There's Derek.
It's Derek. Audio, Derek.
I've been watching a lot of Nearest and Dearest recently, you may have noticed.
And tails, heads and tails, heads and tails.
And I've been watching a lot of Nearest and Dearest recently. The copper just reminded me there. I watched a very early episode of Nearest and Dearest, and a copper in it was David Bradley.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm.
Really?
A very was young
he ever
David
young?
Bradley. Yeah.
Gosh. Because, I mean, David Bradley to me only goes back as far as Our Friends in the North.
Yeah.
Then he was the creepy, rapey guy in Band of Gold.
Yep.
And that was kind of it. But, I mean, Our Friends in the North is the only thing I remember him. First seeing him, and he's a terrific actor. Whenever you see him in something, you go, hey, David Bradley.
I think he's somebody who just must have cut around for years doing wee bits and pieces and then only really forged ahead when he hit a certain age.
Nicolas Le Provost.
Oh, there he is.
That's Nicolas Le Provost.
Now, he's a...
Pierre de Twerre.
He's a classic 80s sitcom actor. The fact is, Craig, you don't have to direct these people.
You don't.
You just turn the camera on and let the magic happen. Yeah. You just turn it on and get the hell out of the way.
Exactly. However, it would be good, as we've just seen, if they actually had someone keeping the eye line for the actors. Because he was looking somewhere off to the far left of where she was standing there.
That's true.
And that's one of the things you notice all the way through. And look at the look at the police office. It's just deep blue.
Now, from a plot...
It's obviously one sort of hangar that they filmed all this in.
Yeah, so there must be like a floor of offices somewhere.
Yeah.
From a plot perspective, it's around about now you feel like you need an extra complication.
You need some movement. But nothing more actually happens.
Like now you need to see that Denise Van Atten's also having an affair with someone else.
Well,
who's that actor? We keep seeing him.
I know. I think he's in Hot Fuzz as well. He's in lots of things.
Oh, he looks a bit like the old guy, doesn't he? Mm.
But Mr. Downey's going to come out here, is he?
Yeah. Oh, no, I think we're just about to see the late Richard Brier. There's quite a lot of people since this film was made have either died.
A bit of a fucking jinx.
Or
correlation without causation?
Gone to prison.
Or are in prison.
Or might be going to prison.
Now, interestingly enough,
we don't name any names,
the story about the dead man's farts on the chair.
Yeah.
Didn't we recently learn that Rolf Harris, his farts are causing quite a stir?
Yeah, there's a story in the Daily Mail, wasn't there?
Chokey.
There was a story in the Daily Mail about how smelly Rolf Harris's
farts are.
They just smell of guilt.
Yeah. Oh. Can you guess what it is yet?
I can't remember what the headline was.
What would the headline be?
Look at our arms.
What would the headline be? Didgeripoo or something like that? Or
didgeripoo.
I can't remember what it was. Oh, look. Boom.
Hey, that's your absolute textbook. You can stop the film now.
Yeah, that's it. So it doesn't get better.
Look at the camera trying to catch up with the action there. Oh. You see that?
And she's meant to be the photographer for the paper.
Yeah, she's got one camera.
Oh.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
And the bottom.
Oh, that's, what's the name of it?
Here we go, who's this?
That's Richard Brier, isn't it? Yep.
It is.
Oh, it doesn't look great.
That wasn't him in the first shot, though.
No.
And the reason he's sitting against that is he could barely move by then. Mm. He had COPD, didn't he? Look at him.
He could barely talk.
Who's the old
The old woman used to be that comedy neighbour in a sitcom. I can't remember what name.
Now, David Dwyer, Fred Dwyer, Hunter, works for me. What do we make of him?
Danny Dyer.
I don't remember why he became famous. He just seemed to turn up.
He was in Human Traffic.
Was he? That was actually quite a credible thing, though. Yeah. Brian Murphy.
Yes. Brian Murphy, originally of the Actors Workshop with Joan Littlewood.
No.
Yeah,
really?
Him and Roy Kinnear and all the rest of them.
Wow.
We're all in the Actors Workshop.
Roy Kinnear, or as I also think of him, Matt Damon.
Matt Damon.
Yeah.
Careful with that
horse. He looks well, doesn't he?
He does look good, yeah. Who was his missus then?
I don't know.
Youth of Joyce. Oh,
sadly, she couldn't make it.
I was scared of Youth of Joyce when I was young.
Sorry?
I was scared of Youth of Joyce.
He's a fat man.
Such a scary face.
There he is, Nick Wilton.
Is that Nick Wilton?
Is that Nick Wilton?
Yeah.
So what's he famous for?
Fast Forward, of course.
Oh, God, yes. Yeah.
Now, this is the central...
He was the real comic talent in Fast Forward. He was the power behind Fast Forward.
Was he? Not Clive Doig?
No, I think it was very much a Nick Wilton vehicle.
Yeah.
He...
Watch, and who's this?
And that's Ray Cooney.
There's a little bit of shit on that back
there. There you go.
No, I don't think anything else.
No, that's terrible.
Going into the old Raiders of the Lost Ark advert break there. Oh, look at the House of Commons.
What are they like?
A little bit of political satire there. Pigeons.
Jesus.
Why do we need to know the geography in this level of detail?
No idea. Is it so you know it's a lot of way away? Except they keep doing the jump cut earlier on.
Yeah.
I wonder if they've done that and then thought, well, that doesn't look like they're far away enough from each other.
Craig?
Yeah.
Do you think the actors are wearing their own
clothes?
Yes,
Jack.
Almost certainly.
I think
probably Neil Morris's flat.
I think they're wearing their own
clothes. That's why they had to do that. Yeah. And the one upstairs, an old man had died in, so they just got used to that as well. Yeah, I think that's their own clothes. That was an excellent start there.
Call you Mrs. Smith, but why?
I know exactly. Why does it matter if he's?
Well, I think bigamy is against the law.
Yeah, but I mean, does he suspect him of bigamy?
I don't know.
Bigamy.
Finsbury Police Station. So here we go. There's a woman who can't walk very well. There was no reason for that to happen, whatsoever. God, Nicky's put the beef on a wee bit, hasn't he?
Yeah. This is a joke. Nick is certainly not Wilton.
This.
Yeah.
Now, there's another
joke. This is a joke
here,
stolen from Airplane.
Which has no payoff.
Is that him?
There's no payoff whatsoever.
That's right. We thought we'd go back to him.
Yeah.
And he doesn't.
And we thought we gave them too much credit because It's either there or it's outside one of the flats he ends up sitting. Mm-hmm. Flask of tea and things. And we thought the joke would be that after the credits, right at the end, he'd still be sitting there. They never go back to him.
Which is the joke stolen from Airplane.
Yeah. They probably didn't make the cut because they had so much good material. They're like, we just can't squeeze that in, guys.
Is that like Mrs. Clooney, do you think? Because she keeps turning up.
Oh. Mrs. Clooney.
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 I don't like seeing Clooney. Is that Iranian lawyer? Doesn't sound right.
Lewin Road.
What a shit hole.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's your London, folks.
Every flat, 8 million quid.
Do you think that's their actual cars?
Full of hipsters. Oh, even the cars look like they're from the 1980s or something.
Mm. Who is this chap?
Nicholas
the Provost.
Okay. And what's he been in? I know him from what?
Oh, my God.
Apart from Run for Your Life.
He played Kenneth Branagh in Hamlet.
He's the guy that shows Alan Partridge around his house that he's trying to buy. Remember? When he says he wants to use the toilet and all that.
He's been in tons of things.
He's been in hundreds of programs.
Oh. Who's this? Hey, there he is. He's got Biggins, Christopher Biggins. Mm-hmm. It's my friend Bobby.
Currently
Wallace,
in the news.
All the time, yeah.
He's in the news for reasons I don't understand.
He's been chucked out of Big Brother house, hasn't he?
Yeah. Because he expressed an opinion about bisexuals and AIDS.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Right.
He said that...
I thought it was because he was too famous.
No. He said that... that he thought the reason AIDS got spread is because bisexuals had gone to Africa and slept with people and got it back and like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
None of which is particularly wise or accurate, but you are actually still allowed to say what you like in this country.
From Ray Cooney's smash hit stage play.
It's just a bit of a misunderstanding!
Comes the laugh out loud film of the year.
You go to jail.
You're not going anywhere.
It's not over till a fat lady sings.
Get it now.
Danny Dyer, Neil Morrissey, Denise Van Outen and Sarah Harding.
That was bloody funny.
Run for Your Wife.
There he is, isn't it? Well,
take your time.
When will Nick Wilton be in Celebrity Big Brother?
He's more famous than most of the people.
Yeah, he is, isn't he?
I think you'll find Biggins here is only one half of a star.
Yeah, and actually I think him and his partner in the film are among the best things in it because they kind of get the tone right.
How was the jam donut?
The jam donut was nice. I've actually eaten too many donuts now.
I love the jam donut.
They're kind of my tea tonight, so.
Yeah, that was. So I think that sofa would probably smell of dead man's pumps as well. Don't you think?
Well, talking about pumps, but it's most, making me queasy.
Yeah, but most leather sofas smell of...
That chair
of sort of
does,
sweat and bums.
I don't think that's true at all. I've got leather sofas in my house. Did they smell when you came in last night?
They
did when you left. There's no question of that. Oh, no, this must be good. There must be some.
There's going to be famous people here. Sponsored by Spotify. Spotify Lane.
I bet they never cleared this.
100 Spotify Lane.
Right. So, Bonnie Women, though, Sarah Harding.
There must be
famous. No, there are. No, shoot. Good thing we remember.
Come on, Chris, let's spot these. Comedy Woman. I don't see anyone.
No, hang on. I should know who they are at the front.
I check if Barbara Windsor's not on this then.
No.
It's disappointing.
Who's this one?
Is that Maureen Lipman at the back? Hang on. There's definitely... There, at the back.
Yeah, it says Maureen Lipman.
There is Maureen Lipman, isn't there?
Yeah. She's actually in that shot.
There's
she's behind
Whitfield.
That woman.
No way.
Yeah. You saw Jean Whitfield.
And I can't whether that's a joke or it's just ineptly directed.
I think it's certainly not a joke.
I mean, yeah, look at that. He's in front of the person behind him. You can't frame like that. I see they're still doing it while she's chatting.
I see they're all now. They're going to start falling over and things.
And it also does that thing of people just repeat the line that's been said before them.
A farm? The people, line before them.
People just repeat the line before them.
The line before them.
The line before them.
No, not the line before them.
Yeah, there's the no line one before again. Them. We could be there for all night doing that. I think you missed the chance.
Wait, there's
June. Yeah, we get a good shot of her.
Killing over, hopefully.
You don't like June Whitfield, do you?
No, I mean in the programme.
Oh, right, I see. That's a terrible shot.
Yeah. There's no reason for that there.
No.
It's a completely different... They're not even there, are they?
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's a pack-up.
Oh,
No, actually, if you look at that, I don't think that's the background to the shot that he's in the mask.
Yeah.
So, what's his character's function? Who is
he's
this guy?
He's a policeman.
Okay.
He's trying to find out what's happening. Are they going to have sex, do you think, these two? I reckon Neil Morris is
somebody's
sitting
in that cake. Yeah. Keep telling you.
What's the function of that cake? Why is that in this at the moment?
Somebody brought him because he's a hero.
Oh, I see.
So that's what you do. Okay. He's going to sit on that cake and it's going to be like shit. I guarantee you, my friend. Yeah. I guarantee you.
Which is going one further than the farty leather. I'll bet that sofa smells of
do you think Neil decided he was going to do that accent for this? Which they said.
Yeah, because he's a Brummie, isn't he?
Yeah.
Oh,
he's trying his best. Fair play to him, you know. How many times has he put those glasses on now?
It's just no pace, this, is there?
No.
Boy!
Thank you. Called it.
It didn't take much. No.
Now, do you think he got paid extra given that's his own pair of trousers
and his couch?
What was he covering up there?
In his flat.
Yeah, because why couldn't he just be standing there?
Yeah, he wears socks and shoes like you do, though, Jack.
Well, quite a lot of people wear socks and shoes.
No, the exact same ones.
And it looks
that you
like
wear.
Jobby. Ha 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 ha.
Not that you could actually shit yourself and it be on the outside.
You could have a good go.
that's great.
You could if you had...
Look.
If you had Peter Sutcliffe style cars away.
That's true, yeah.
And now he's locked himself out. People are going to think he's shat himself through his trousers. Oh, for fuck's sake.
Now, Craig, as much as we're enjoying...
Oh, look at dragging them all off.
Oh, here we go. As much as we're enjoying this... Can you can you say a word about the documentary we looked at before we started recording?
Oh, yes. What was it called again?
In Bed with Chris Needham. What did you make of that? So you hadn't seen it before, had you?
No, I hadn't seen it before. I love that guy. he was fantastic.
Look, there's porn in that glass.
no, that was a treat.
It was good, wasn't it?
It was a nice little moose-bush before we came to this.
It was in the moose-bush.
Now look at this scene, how long this scene has lasted now.
I had the great good pleasure of talking to Chris Needham about 8 years ago. He feels that he's being treated cynically by showbiz.
Not cynically as Rolf Harris thinks he's being
treated. In fact, I wonder if Chris Needham's in this film.
Can you see where it is yet? Yeah, it's an indictment, mate.
I think his band does the closing music. There is actually one thing.
Music by Man's Laughter.
Yeah. There is one thing.
The Crash Game.
That's actually slightly objectionable about this, which is that
there's only one thing.
There are only two women in it, and they are, well, I mean, in terms of lead characters, and they are treated as utter idiots.
Mm. Well, to be perfectly honest, at the same time, though, the two male characters are idiots.
Yeah, but they're kind of doing stuff. But they are pulling whereas the women have to be incredibly stupid for the actual farce to work.
And that's not a good farce.
Look at this shot. Enter left.
It's like a kind of Isha set.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You expect it to go around and round and round there.
It doesn't matter how much you walk round and round. There's no plot.
Where's his chocolatey bum?
Well, it's behind him.
Yeah.
So is he going to sit on one of these white...
It's behind you.
...white sofa? They haven't even properly made that sofa for this shot.
It's just there.
It's just rubbish, isn't it? Don't sit on... Don't... Oh, no. What's strange about this, I can't imagine what the original stage show is like. You did get no sense of
there was none of that on the front of his jeans when he was standing up.
Yeah, that's because that's...
He has done it.
It's take four, and this is the best one they got.
Oh, see.
But don't you think you get no sense of what the structure of the stage show would be? Because I can believe the stage show is probably quite good.
Yeah.
I like the close-up. Oh, no, that shit. Why is there tension music for that?
And the thing is, in the middle of all of this, it's not a problem. This is not a problem to deal with.
No.
If you're trying to save somebody from being arrested for bigamy.
I wouldn't give a fuck, actually. I think it was the real Neil Morrissey, and he's a great guy, Neil. He'd let him get arrested.
He would, yeah.
Fire upstairs.
He would. And pump his wives. His wives.
Yeah.
It'd be win-win.
Yeah.
Win-win-win.
Win-win-win.
Now, he's supposed to have washed Rocky. That
Boom.
Sarah giving it, you're just a love machine.
So Neil, that was the first thing I saw him on, I think, Boone.
Yeah, Boone.
Do you remember the thing music to Boone?
Yes, I do.
Yes, I do, yes.
That was surely sung by a woman, that.
Oh, he's talking about it.
Was it Maggie Bell?
Was it Maggie Bell who sang it?
Very high
voice. I always thought it was Michael Elphick who sang it, but there we go.
No, Michael Elphick sang it, it would have been... Oh, I had to come there.
That was in the Elephant Man, you know.
Poor Michael Elphick, what a great actor he was. Genuinely, he was a great actor.
Yeah, he was a great actor.
A troubled soul.
He was good in EastEnders as well.
Yeah, but it was quite sad to see him.
Maybe his face just kept getting bigger.
Yeah,
he just kept getting bigger and bigger.
Yeah, poor Michael.
I think we should dedicate this commentary to
Michael Elphick, and ladies Kevin and Lloyd. Gentlemen. No, not.
Can we dedicate it to Michael Elphick, but not Kevin Lloyd?
I don't think we want to dedicate it to sort of slappy people.
No.
Handbag. Can't even get that in.
No. Handbag, yeah.
Do you think that was a clever metatextual joke?
No. Well, but they didn't do the punchline.
I don't think so.
Cooney doesn't have to do conventional punchlines.
See, they've got Stepladder.
Aye.
Well, he doesn't have to do punchlines. Is that the meta thing?
What, no punchlines?
There's no punchlines. Is it like, did Spike Jonze actually direct this?
So what's slightly weird about this is that it seems to be Neil Morrissey who's performing all the farce.
Yeah.
Isn't it, rather than Danny Dyer? Whereas Danny Dyer seems to be quite oblivious. Is that kind of meant to be the angle for this?
Don't really know.
So the guy who's at the centre of the whole thing is oblivious to it.
Wow. It's like folk have like asked someone's sister to be in it.
Yeah.
Isn't it? It's like... I will get my sister to be in it.
You'll be fine.
It's a nice lassie.
No slaps.
She was quite the sort of sexy ladette back in her day, old Denise Fanning.
Yeah, but that was the thing.
Her and Sarah Cox. All dressed up in Doonatown.
And she did she not have a relationship with one of the Josephs?
Wonder who?
From, the Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Well, you would hope it would be... The one that fucked all of them.
Head guy. Whatever he was.
Joseph Fiennes?
No.
Is it Joseph Rowntree?
No. You know the one I mean.
Lee somebody.
Darren Day.
Oh no. Oh. No. It was.
He was always.
You know one of the Andrew Lloyd Webber audition shows they did.
I don't really watch that.
Okay. So, did she? Yeah.
Lee, what's his face? Kelly. Yeah. Yeah, he's doing all right, isn't he, though?
Yeah.
Biggins.
Mm-hmm. Hang on, that guy in the background.
Outside, yeah.
He's just moved from one side of the...
Yeah, from the counter to the other. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Now, why does nothing ever do good newspapers?
I know.
Fake newspapers in films and telly are always shit.
Yeah. As fake TV programs.
Yeah.
And discos.
Yeah, and discos.
Yeah.
That is true.
A friend who knows about this sort of thing, because I've never been to one. I've never been to a club in my entire life.
There we are.
That's a Bazenji, that dog. They don't bark. They're from Africa.
Oh, right.
A friend who used to go to clubs and things, which I've never been to one in my life, tells me that the best depiction of a club ever done on telly or film is the one in Spaced.
Right.
That it captures a club better than anything else.
Yeah, that's quite like you. Yeah.
I like the bit when Mike's
doing this thing. Yeah.
The A-team music comes on.
Yeah, that's quite like a club, I suppose.
Does Emma Kennedy get a caveat on this?
I hope so.
Just trying to think of
Sarah Kennedy probably.
Just trying to think of the level.
Who was that?
I don't know. It looked like Julian Beck from Port of East 2.
It did a bit, yeah.
Or halfway through Julian Glover being killed at the end of
Indiana Jones and his dad.
Indiana Jones and his dad. Meter's still running.
See, he's not looking where he was.
No.
I'm looking for. I'm looking.
Oh,
out.
Wow! Let's spin that up.
Oh, look,
oh no, he's buying every cup.
Soup Ollard!
Soup Ollard.
Jesus.
I guarantee you, if you look carefully.
Derek Folds?
Yeah, but he's very old, isn't he?
Do you know that
there's Simon Williams?
Mm hmm. Derek Folds
and Sachs.
That's the bloke from the Bell.
Yeah.
Do you know that Derek Folds runs a laundrette now? Slept in a laundrette.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah, he does. What? Yeah.
Go on, let's hear it.
Yeah.
It's just a joke.
Pam Ayres, Jeremy Irons, Derek Folds. I made that joke up.
It's a great. Now, let's look for, let's look for reflections of the film crew, because I can guarantee you there'll be one.
Pam Ayres.
Yeah,
thanks.
Yeah. Sylvia Sims.
Sylvia
Sims.
A fantastically canaptious old love, Sylvia Sims.
Yeah.
She was great a few years ago in Rev.
Mm-hmm.
She plays the wee woman
in the
dying.
Well. So this is the thing we're saying, where it comes in one way.
And
now it's going the other way or something.
Yeah.
It just about stays within, not crossing the line, but it's a really ugly shot and it looks really weird. I don't really understand why we've got red water.
Forward.
Here's his partner coming.
Lionel Blair's. What are they doing? What was that about?
I don't really know. I think they might have said earlier.
He said something about 2 feet of red water, but I don't know if they've murdered a child and they're just trying to mop up the floor. I mean, I wouldn't be at all surprised the way things have gone.
Because there's some outfit that they've been washing or something.
It is frankly astounding that we've got to this stage without mentioning he who must not be mentioned anymore.
How's that?
You're not actually allowed to do that if you're a policeman.
Oh, that's terrible acting. That's like Ricky Gervais. Top acting.
It's a lot of coming and going, isn't it, just for
not
a really, really simple premise.
But there's no sense of ratcheting up anything, really, is there?
No.
I suppose lots of red water's going to come. Somebody's going to come through the ceiling on him or something.
Are there a lot of DVD extras in this release?
No, that was across the line there.
Do they have an interview?
Because the way he walked over, he was walking left to right, and it cut to him looking the other way.
Right.
Yeah. Do they have an interview with the director?
Really, could he?
Well, let me see.
Is there commentary on this?
Oh, that'd be good, wouldn't it?
There is now.
There is now.
Ba, 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 ba.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, we had a little.
You didn't even get out of that.
We're getting what they called cartoon sound effects now.
Mm.
There'll be a woman walking there going, Thomas, any second now.
I do like Neil's kind of rugby top.
Pseudo rugby top.
So what are the full range of extras on this?
I don't know.
Okay.
Straight out the Baden catalogue. It's the cheaper version of Boden. There are no extras on it. It's not even got subtitles.
Wow.
Fit for viewing by persons aged 12 years or more. It contains moderate sex references and language.
No. Those are the extras.
Yeah.
Language. That's the extra.
Yeah, language.
There's words in it.
co-producer Nigel Goldsack. He sounds good. See, the voice is sitting really oddly in the sound mix there. You almost think it's out of sync.
It does seem out of sync. Yeah. So this had troubled production.
Yeah.
What was troubled about it, apart from no one knows how to operate anything?
I don't know. I didn't mean, I can't remember particularly. I remember lots of silly stories about, you know, people not turning up or
really?
They've had to hold up filming and things like that. Uh-huh. But I mean, they smacked of
trying to get in the papers. That's quite a big joke about how
yeah,
that
cool. Okay. Do you think he's written his lines off cue cards?
Possibly.
Lionel Blair.
Lionel Blair's married, you know.
So yes. They say. So they say.
Yeah.
So they say.
Paul Crampton was married, you know.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Remember when Lionel Blair's dog got missing and he went on telly and cried about it?
Oh, that's sad. There's a wee fox. There was a fox just walking.
Is that Denise you're talking about?
No, that was Ronnie Corbett. And Linda Barron's fur coat.
Who's the lady with Denise Van Outen?
Don't know.
Right, okay.
We don't know who she is.
Is that the reporter or her that made the chocolate cake?
No, she was the chocolate cake lady.
Right.
That's not some sort of disgusting euphemism. See,
what
I don't know why this keeps happening.
Just turn the water off.
Why were they able to leave that? Why were they able to come down and leave that for a bit and then
just
have to go back and stand in directly in front of
it? I don't know. It's kind of a joke. Why is he bothering?
Why are they not just putting the bucket actually?
Put the bucket in a sink.
It's actually just becoming quite depressing now.
The sink's just there, yeah. Oh, it looks a bit like menstrual blood. That's funny.
I actually never thought about that, you fucking weirdo. Why do you hate women so much?
You hate women.
Yeah.
Oh, this is Michelle Smith speaking.
Oh no, it's the other one. Oh no, what's going to happen now?
What am I going to do? Oh no.
Oh, my wife's going to kill me.
So why is Michelle Smith on the phone to Sarah Hardings?
I don't know.
Has he got a tattoo in his hand?
Yeah.
Is Sarah Harding in relation to Mike Harding, do we know?
I hope so. We can only hope.
What does Mike Harding do these days?
He's on
he does
too, isn't he?
No, he could fill out the BBC.
Oh, that's right,
he has his own folk show.
Yeah, that's good.
That he sort of crowdfunds and
puts
out. He's a great guy, Mike
Harding.
But he didn't sing The Oldest Swinger in Town, that was somebody else.
You didn't what?
He didn't sing The Oldest Swinger in Town. That was somebody else, wasn't it?
Come on, Biggins.
The Rochdale Cowboy.
See, I mean, I see they've got the same flat. Oh!
Oh!
Oh! A laugh! I had a laugh!
I have to say, I suspect the floor between two flats is a little better than that.
How far in are we? In there, shall
we? We are. Let me have a look at this. We're 59 minutes in.
Yeah, okay. It's only took 58 minutes to get a laugh.
It came from Biggins, Lionel Blair, and his arse poking through.
Who the fuck?
I know.
Oh, raging. Oh. She's just raging all the time. Now. We've got a problem here, I'd suggest.
Are you all right?
Oh, yeah. The problem, I suggest, is this is so shit. What are we going to talk about instead?
I'm quite enjoying myself.
Oh, man.
Yeah, we've got the music to look forward to.
Oh, yeah.
Now, who's our favourite person that's turned up in it thus far?
Nick Walton.
Yeah, I don't want to. Most definitely not well.
For me, it's probably Rolf.
Did you ever used to read Fast Forward comic?
No. Okay. What year was Fast Forward on?
A Fast Forward comic was not the same as the TV series.
Well, I can understand that. I understand there's a fucking comic and a TV series.
But it was BBC.
You have to be Alan fucking
Kids
Moore
comic.
To know that.
It was a BBC Kids comic.
No, a comic, I know a TV series.
And then there was a comic.
It doesn't matter. It's nothing to God!
If anyone.
Anyone gets
anyone
that reference.
Knows what the reference
we'll
is.
Send you a key.
Chris will do it again. Here it is. What is this a reference to?
It matters to God!
If you know that, you win a prize.
Anyway.
So the
it'll be George that gets that. There's no question of
it. The Beeb comic. Do you remember the Beeb comic?
No. I never really bought comics.
No, neither did
I. I had a picture of...
Or read comics, because I read proper
books. One issue had Ronan Browning on the front cover with Gary Glitter and I think Jonathan King, and
wow.
The headline was, What's Eating Ronan?
to be fair, that's plenty of
Roland.
<everybody. laughs>
Hello, Roland.
Oh, Roland.
That was Michelle Gale.
No!
It? What?
It was not Michelle Gale.
Fuck's sake.
I was about to say that. People always say it was Michelle Gale.
No.
You're not a
you're
true
a
Doctor
king
fan,
are you? African queen. What's that going to do with Doctor Who?
No, it isn't.
Did Michelle Gale...
But I'm just casting,
Michelle
that,
Gale,
I'm casting that up at you as well.
Did Michelle Gale go to the Rod de Bennett?
What's eating Roland? I've got a terrible image in my face.
Michelle Gale was in Fresh and Blood.
No, it's in your face. Are you trying to?
Nick,
ow!
There's some good stuff going on here. You're missing some shtick.
Yeah. Ow! I fall in the back.
So was some.
Ow!
It's certainly entertaining for Jonathan.
That
was
rolling.
A great. That was a great theme tune, wasn't it? Let's do it. One, two, three. Da 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 da.
Ow! Little did we know where that sound effect came from.
Yeah. Then they had a program called No Limits. Ow, 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 there's no limits.
Oh, dear God. My Big Brother. Oh. Entertainment USA. Enjoyed it.
So I say that again.
My Big Brother used to like Entertainment USA.
Is this Roger?
Yeah.
Ow. He's just standing in the garden watching
it. He's just standing in the garden and watching them film it.
Oh, look, his neck is still there. Is Nicholas Parsons in this film?
Alas, no. The astoundingly old Nicholas Parsons.
Mm. Yeah, Nicholas. I have some standards at least.
Didn't he fall off the stage at Edinburgh like a couple of years
ago? I hope not, because he's a good guy.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
He's a good guy, Nicholas Parsons.
Yeah,
he's a good
guy. He's a good guy.
I was lucky enough to interview him once.
No,
he was an engineer, you know.
For Historic Scotland magazine.
In
so
Greenock.
I asked him about being Doctor Who.
He was...
And he remembered. He said, oh yes, I played the Reverend Wainwright.
Well
and
done.
Talked about one of the speeches that he had to give.
See?
Oh, and...
In Curse of Fenric.
Curse of Fenric.
He loves doing a Scottish accent
the
as well, because he worked in Greenock during the war.
Yeah,
didn't
he did,
The thing is, though...
You all right there?
He wasn't...
He was very good in Doctor Who.
His old man was like a senior manager, wasn't it, or an owner?
No, I think he wanted to be an actor, but his dad said you have to have a proper career,
that's
so he went and trained as an engineer.
And
he got sent up to Greenock to work.
I think
so.
I think his father was an engineer and had like quite a senior job,
so he was
and
going
got him
into
in
the
that
farm,
way.
Right,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
But I mean, he still had to do the work.
Sure,
you know,
absolutely.
Like,
yeah. And then he made his way in showbiz.
Yep. So he was in Glasgow and it got bombed in World War II.
Yeah.
Right, let's have a look.
It's not only just fucking London get bombed, you know.
No, absolutely not.
Quite right.
Go and check out Clyde Bank. Oh, no, it's not there anymore.
No, absolutely. And just for the record, my mother witnessed the first aerial attack.
Yeah. I think we've mentioned...
I think we've mentioned
this again.
My mum saw the first aerial attack on Britain in the Second World War. She lived in Crammond outside Edinburgh, just on the edges of Edinburgh.
Wow.
And they were actually, people think they were going for the Fourth Bridge. They weren't, they were going for the Rosyth Dockyards.
Wow.
And they flew right over her house.
Wow.
And she thought that she saw the face of the man who was the pilot, but I think that was just years of thinking about it.
Release passport!
He looks terrible there, doesn't he, poor Nick? Is Sherry Houston in this?
I hope so.
No.
Is Amanda Barry?
I don't think no.
Is Amanda Barry still alive?
She is. She just recently got married to a lady.
Yeah. Did she not lose her sight?
That's not why she got married to her lady. She's very happy with her. Yes. There's nothing wrong with that.
It's a bit of confusion. The lady thought she was marrying bigot. Barry Amanda.
Yeah. You're a bigot, man.
Not bigot.
You're a bigot.
I'm not bigot.
You'll be saying that you think there's something iffy about
you're a little
about.
No, it's like on it. Blair. Is she the subject of the best ever Gotcha Oscar? Because I contend he might be.
What did he do
it's
to her
on
again?
DLT?
No.
Because he went mental at them, didn't he?
It was Lionel Blair was appearing in a farce.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, that is
a
good one.
That's right. The audience. Yeah. And he pretends to be his biggest fan.
Yeah.
The best Gotcha Oscar.
But I love Lionel. Sorry.
The best Gotcha is Noel Edmonds.
Explain.
When
his entire career was a Gotcha on the British people.
When they remember they did one on Gloria Hunniford. I can't remember what it was. And Gloria Hunniford promised she'd get one back, and she did.
Mm.
And she arranged one where, when they did the segment, wait till your parents get you home or whatever.
Yeah, wait till
where they
would
talk
home.
To kids. Wait till I get you home. They talk to kids about their.
Wait till I get you home with Jonathan King.
Yes. And so they were.
Ow!
Ow! And they were interviewing the family, and it was all the stuff that was like was really. It was quite appropriate. It was all about, the dad walks about, and he farts a lot, and mum drinks quite a lot in the afternoon and all that. And I know Edmonds, when they were recording it, was like, they kept on going, well, I'm not for sure you should say that, and other sort of thing, you know, while they were doing the live recording. Mm-hmm. And it got worse and worse, and eventually Gloria Hunniford came down the stairs. And it was
clever Gloria, you can't.
And the actors who played the kids and the mum and dad were brilliant.
Yeah, the Mike Reed one's good as well.
Don't tickle the Hunnifords.
When he's Mike Reed, a lot Morgan, when he's trying to record something. Because what I like about it is people keep coming into the studio and stuff.
Oh, that's right.
And he's getting really annoyed at the people behind the bar. But when the public come in and they go, "Oh, it's Mike Reed," he's actually really nice to them. You think he must actually be a decent bloke.
Does he have any bacon sandwiches? No, there's Bill Walton still there.
Mike Reed was
renowned in when he was doing press interviews. He turned to interview him. He'd be there with his agent and a big pile of bacon sandwiches.
Good for him.
Yeah, he's good.
Unlike Anne Kirkbride, who turned up with 200 Dunhill. Smoked them all in one go.
Racer!
Also, she looked like one of Marge Simpson's.
Innocent.
Look at that. See, the set designer has just printed them all off at the same time, you know. Yeah. All those names.
Somebody I know interviewed Anne Kirkbride, and during the course of the interview, which was no longer than 15 minutes, she smoked 20 fags.
Wow.
Yeah, they've all just been rattled off in somebody's raised printer.
Mrs. Healy Otway, Mr. Bobby Franklin.
Default font.
Yeah. Well, actually, she'd be fucking happy it's not Comic Sans.
For use of passive aggressive notes to put on
communal
fridges.
Yeah. It's not working at all. So, what we're making of Run for Your Life then? It is genuinely hellish, isn't it? You kind of wonder who they thought it was going to work. I mean, maybe when you're an actor, and you know, Neil Morrissey doesn't get asked to be in many films, God bless him.
No.
None of them do. Maybe they're thinking, you know, well, this will be great. Well, good old Ray, you know, he's got the golden touch in the theatre, he's making a film. Look.
Yeah.
Is Andrew Clayton in this film?
Stop asking about people
just
who
fucking
are
watch
in
it.
Because if we say no, then you make it sound like there's something wrong with the film when it is, in fact, perfect.
Okay.
Look at that, they've actually managed to go and shoot like 3 days in the streets of London.
No permits.
Think the...
Which I thoroughly approve of, actually.
It's moving a hell of a lot faster
than
the traffic
the
normally does.
A bit better.
Oh, you think that's better?
Slightly.
Shut up, you dick.
The music's good. That's the same place that
this
it all happened.
Taxi, yep.
That's where it all kicked off.
Chinese God.
Oh, here's the bus full
here's
of fame.
Here's the mother load.
Yeah. See, if something had happened, if that had gone off a bridge that day,
that would
have been
panto season.
That would have been British royalty.
Some money from Pims there.
Absolutely.
What is she doing? Why is she so angry with the bus?
Because it's blocking her way. Right. Driving
better.
The bus.
We're off to the races.
Right, hang on. Robin Asquith.
Hey.
Oh my God. Dressed up as the Fifth Doctor.
He is, off his boat for one day.
Yep. has a great life.
He's a fantastic life. Yeah, he just fucks about the Mediterranean all the time. He's
oh, I died. Oh, I died.
But I love him talking about all those films, saying, you know, he said you'd be my Mars, would be bobbing up and down on top of an actress. Then we'd pause and I'd say, so are you doing the National this year? No, I'm at the RSC for the next season.
And when he gets back to his boat at night, does he climb through a window?
Right, go. Linda Barron.
Oh, yeah, Linda. Yeah.
Bill Pertwee dead.
Yeah. Oh, jeez, look at the snicker one there.
Frank Thornton dead.
Yeah.
Jesus.
He's not even able to do much there, is he?
Donald Sinden
dead.
Donald
Sinden there.
Sheila Hancock there. Oh.
What?
Timothy West and Prunella Scales.
Yeah.
Bless.
Now, poor Prunella probably didn't know she was there.
No. Yeah, well, that's true, yeah.
Yeah.
That programme they make, though, when they go out and about in the boat is lovely.
Mm.
It's probably the best programme.
Bill Kenwright as well.
I think it was, yeah.
Was it?
Yeah.
It's probably the only programme that actually has ever managed to deal with Alzheimer's in any reasonable way. Have you seen it?
No.
Because they just go on little boat tours and they both do voice. And she is suffering from dementia now.
She is, yeah.
And they'll do. She'll talk for a bit, and then he'll do voiceover as well. And they'll just address the fact that she's suffering a bit more from it. She says he gets a bit grumpy. But what's brilliant about her is she's still a really beautiful woman. Mm. She's really flirty with all the locksmiths and whatnot, which is great.
What?
Why does she think he's Mr. Smith?
What?
Look at them waiting.
Waiting to move the queue in the shot. Bloody hell!
Come on, Denise, from out and about. She starts off doing the traffic, I think, on Big Breakfast. She was in the helicopter.
Really? For the record, realised she had tits or something.
She was quite a nice looking woman in her day, wasn't she? Still quite a nice looking woman. She's just not an actress.
No.
I'm sure she's a good sort and all that.
But the problem is she's
fine.
Was she not in Chicago or something?
Well, the problem was she got too closely identified with that whole Ladette thing, which was really quite distasteful.
Yeah.
And bad, you know, really nastily sexist.
Oh, it's a terrible time.
Oh, look, I am...
The loaded generation and all that.
Yeah, all that shit. Yeah. Oh, look, I'm down in a pint and what am I like, you know.
Yeah, and what's her name did that as well, Zoe Ball and all that.
Yeah, really pointless.
It's quite interesting to see, though, that like Zoe Ball and Sarah Cox have now sort of reinvented themselves through being on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're both quite good at what they do, you know, yeah. They're both really fine.
Sarah Cox, yeah, she was always a wee bit more sort of credible.
What? Who's this guy? What's his t-shirt about?
I mean, that's just like something straight out of fucking Dick Emery or Kenny Everett, you know?
Do you think that was scripted?
Probably not, no.
It's just the flat downstairs.
It's just a UKIP supporter.
He's a way back in there to take his country back.
Right, absolutely. It's a nice set of deck shoes he's got on there. Daddy Dara's deck shoes. they should actually have a look how she's moving.
Yeah, that's what I mean. She does that wee step back. Oh, right, now she thinks the two of them are shagging.
How would you put that past either of them?
I like his wee digital watch.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I like a digital watch.
Yeah, not like that though. That's just silly, that one there. I've got a digital watch on there.
Yeah, but we don't like those.
I'm just saying, though, I've still got a digital watch on, isn't it? I mean, I need to diss my digital watch.
Oh, sorry, you just diss the fact that I like that.
Well, I think that's
all right.
Yeah. All right, listen. Let's just say all quits, okay? Truce.
Get fucked.
Oh, she's fucking fantastic, sake, isn't she?
She is really bad, isn't it?
Why is she kicking the door in now?
No, absolutely not. Foot shot sometime later.
Wait. Oh, trousers down. Raise on the set.
What's What actually is happening now?
So I don't know.
Denise Van Outen thinks what?
Given a look on his face, I thought I was actually going to have Neil Morris's tongue up his arse when it cut to the reverse shot there. That was worth it.
So that's the two of them face to face now.
Yeah.
Got a nice shot of the boss sack swinging.
Certainly did. Don't you find Danny Dyer to be a comely young fellow?
He's all right.
I quite like Sarah Harding, have I mentioned that? So. Just about got a...
Are you experiencing a Sarah Harding, are you?
An upskirt moment.
Oh, wait, here we go. Some more classic acting by Denise here. Look. Oh, right, this is them. Oh, no, look, they're having bum sex.
Which is, of course, the worst thing. I don't think she's any stranger. She's a woman of the world. Oh, look at this.
That pan's never been used for cooking anything, has it?
No.
No.
All bought from
straight from Poundland.
Wow.
Oh wow!
Oh, here we go. Why would you not assume she's talking about Neil Morrison?
Wow.
It just hates everybody, this problem.
Yeah, it does.
That held our attention.
In what way is she going to sort it out? Is she going to cut her face off or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, she's got a knife.
Yeah, Danny will say, I say, you do to a girl, won't it, girl? It's what you do to a girl. These are the very flats that Steptoe walks up.
Are they?
They look like them, though, don't they? Yeah. At which point they were a slum, now, as I say, each flat, $10 million.
$5 million.
And your own helipad. And they're all owned by Russian guys.
So there is quite a sort of big line of these.
Going to hand them out to make a movie.
And clearly, this one didn't do any good business, but it's quite a big line in these sort of cheapo British gangster films. Isn't that where Danny Dyer comes from?
I think so. Yeah, he made sort of.
He did loads of them.
Well, like I say, he made Human Traffic when he was a teenager.
Right.
Him is that right?
Him and John Sim.
Right.
And then, very early 20s, anyway.
Oh, right, sorry, what's Human Traffic? That's not the one about people being brought in from other countries and things. Or drugs.
It's just about taking pills.
Michael Douglas.
It's just about taking pills and going out the weekend.
Yeah.
Oh, right, okay, I've never seen that. Because I never did that, so I don't really know. I wouldn't watch a film about it.
I don't think you have to have done it to watch it. No. I mean, I've never ridden a camel, but I've seen Lawrence of Arabia.
No. Have you ever engaged in bigamy?
Moving on. Oh!
No, it was one of those, you know, oh, what's the zeitgeist all about? Mm. But then he stabbed in those sort of, what's the name of that?
The Firm. Oh, no, it wasn't The Firm. The Gangsters, The Squad, The Geezers.
Yeah, you still get quite a lot of
those. Yeah, all those films. Yeah, the Geezers. Yeah. Like the Geezer
fuck
cycle.
Fuck off, Geezer!
Up the arse. The Business.
The Business.
It was actually
business.
Called The Business.
Up the Business with the Geezer up the arse.
Because there's a... It's like a cover of them, you know, in a pool in like Ibiza or something.
I saw the. I remember the advert for the guy going, oh, 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 oh.
Right.
Yeah.
I've never seen anything other than the cover of the video.
No, I've seen a trailer for that film. It looked terrible.
Yeah,
there
was a.
Hey, what are you fucking the crying's nice to the mum, isn't it? Nice to the mum. Never anybody else sit by the gigs, he's nice to the mum.
So all those sort of things.
The lamp. Oi!
Which are kind of lamp, is it in a way lampooned by Sexy Beast?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because you've got Ray Winston.
Yeah.
Who is a dick?
Ray Winston?
You know, doing the thing, you know, lying by the, by the pool, enjoying it until fucking Bendy Kingsley turns up. And he's immense in that.
Sir Bendy Kingsley.
That's a handy Bendy Kingsley. Because he's immense in that. Well deserved his plaudits.
But there's a load of those British gangster films, isn't there?
And you get to see Ian McShane get fucked up the arse by James Fox.
Do you?
Edward Fox. Yeah, the start of Sex Beast. Wow. When they set up the job.
Yeah.
You don't remember the two of them were cutting about some. It's meant to be this, if you know, thing where the elite meet to fuck. I think it's Edward Fox.
Well, Edward Fox.
Who's the less severe one? James Fox. James Fox says, "You just do girls or boys." And the next minute you see him, you say, "Get her up."
There you go.
And then that's how, because he's got the bank, and Ian McShane's the gangster, and that gives him access to the bank, but somebody else will get a job. Blah, 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 blah,
blah, blah, blah, blah. So, how have they sorted this out here? We missed a bit now.
Oh, no!
He's going off with Denise Van Outen.
Are they not nice, the Custer?
No, I don't like them. I'm interested to see what you say.
Yeah, a bit fisty. I'm not going to tell you one after you've told me that.
They're a bit clangy.
I'm not into that. It's not a big
deal. So, these cheap British gangster films, you haven't seen any of them?
Not really.
No. It seems to be like,
I don't like gangster films.
Fade to Black. Really,
I think they must just come out on DVD.
Yeah.
And they start with saying Nick. What's his face?
Nick. Noel Nix. Nick.
Cassavetes.
Nick Nolte.
Nolte.
That'd be good.
Nick from EastEnders. Nasty Nick from Big Brother.
Nick Carraway from The Great Gatsby.
Nicholas Nickleby.
Why is Derek Griffiths not in this role?
Because they only had him for 20 minutes.
Well, they cast him in the Denise Van Outen role, but it just wasn't working.
When he wanted to stop and do a song about bigamy, it slowed the whole thing down.
Oh, bigamy, bigamy, bigamy. It's bigamy till I bigamy.
Bigamy, baby.
Bigamy. Bigamy.
And here's my favourite friend, Mr. Christopher Lillycrap. I got a hymn full of songs to sing.
Who's on Twitter, isn't he, Christopher Lillycrap?
Is he?
As soon as we're finished with this, I'm going to be right on the Twitters. Lillycrap C. Click.
No, he's not.
Next thing you'll be telling me that Chloe Ashcroft's
so what name is he under?
I can't remember. I need to check.
Davey.
I'll find out for the next question.
David Lillycrap. Alec Lillycrap.
Nick.
His real name. Fred Lillycrap. But what are these low-budget gangster films you're talking about?
Of Little Speak.
Well, you often see, sometimes you see them trailed for other stuff. And then there just seems to be a constant supply of them. Like, so I think they, do you know where you most often see them? As if you're in a record store, should such things still exist, by the cash desk, you know, and they've got like stuff.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
Or in your Tesco's.
Yeah. A few
quid. Yeah.
Yeah, like £3 or something.
All right, love, do you fancy a wee copy of Cunt? It's £3.
And a giant Nestle Crunch for a pound.
Nick Moran. Yeah. I had a conversation with Nick Moran once. Because he's actually a bit better than that. He was the main character in Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels. But he's also, he made a film, did he know, was he not in the film about the guy who wrote Telstar? I think he wrote that. Really? So there's a wee bit more to him than you're letting him on. However, you say that about Lock, Stock. To be fair to it, it did lead to Snatch, which is a genuinely great film.
Snatch is a great film, but... Yeah.
Well, I think Lock, Stock, in fact, probably kick-started that whole British
probably to some extent.
I'm sure it did. You know, fucking rubbish.
It is, however, a cut above most of the ones that Danny Dyer's in.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to see it again.
Well, the thing is, at least I don't like films about gangsters. I don't like gangsterism being glorified.
But it does have Jason Statham in it, who we like.
Yeah, fine.
And it's got the bit about Harry hitting him on the head with a big black rubber cock.
But I have to admit, it's well made. There's no denying. Hmm? You know, he knows that guy Ritchie's knows how to direct
that
a film.
Ritchie knows how to direct a film.
But have we seen the trailer for his new film, his King Arthur film?
He's made a King Arthur film.
He's made a King Arthur film.
Yeah.
What we'll do is
King L.
Not to lift the veil too much in Annika Rice Stiley. Mm-hmm. We'll take a look at it in between recording this one and the next one, and we'll come back to it in the next. If there's any quiet moments in the next,
along
film.
With the Twitter handle for
Christopher Lillycrap. Yeah, we'll get that to you, people.
This seems to be winding down now.
Yeah.
You see, this is the point where we think, oh, this is going to finish on a joke about Nick Wilton's taxi meter outside.
Yeah,
no, it doesn't.
Or indeed, bigamy.
She's bigging it.
Bigamy.
She's got him right into the edge of the
bed. So has he got away with it at this point?
Yeah.
Apparently. She's after
strap on.
She's, yeah. That's why he's looking like that.
That's a small bed, isn't it, for the two of them?
Got to go king size, mate.
Yeah, yeah, that's barely more than a... Barely more than a single bed. Mm.
Secret of a happy marriage, mate.
Bigamy.
No, separate wings of a house. Now look. I bet he enjoyed that. You can see on his face. Oh, sorry, love.
Yeah.
Locks. How do you feel about the economy of this film, Craig?
I don't understand how a taxi driver could afford those two houses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Taxis don't sit idle.
No.
You don't park it up overnight.
That's true.
Somebody else does it. Yeah. So how's that one?
That's true.
That's a good point, well made.
Is he going to call the wrong name now?
What happens here?
Oh no, that's right.
She actually didn't say that there.
Is that it?
Yeah. Except for the payoff at the end.
Yeah, yeah.
Which you're going to love. And this actually made Chris laugh so much, he nearly fucking died the first time he watched it. Here's the song.
So this is Denise Van Houten about singing now, isn't it? Look, theatre chums.
Could you stop singing over Denise, please?
Yeah, of course. Where did Vicky Michelle appear?
Right at the beginning.
Oh, this is Jenny Seagrove is in that film.
Quiet. Here we go.
Katie Manning.
Lisa, where was Lisa Goddard?
They were all on that bus.
But they didn't actually have the ability to film them the way that you saw them.
Yeah.
Lisa Goddard, Bergerac, good thing or bad thing? Quick reaction.
Yeah, great. She was good, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, I liked her. Okay. Well, you're wrong.
Too much kissing when she was on it.
Nicholas.
This film has the temerity to say it had an art director and a consulting art director.
Yeah.
Douglas Heap.
I suspect, just as about general props from Ray Cooney plays there, I suspect he has all these props.
Yeah, no, lots in a away, unit
and
somewhere.
He fucking hired them out to the production.
Well, yeah, because he probably hires them out to whatever to company is. Yeah.
How many of this crew do you think just have one entry in IMDb?
Many, I would suspect. Here we go. All together now.
Run!
Run for your wife!
Oh, they're showing us some cameos again.
Yeah.
Was that George Layton?
No, I don't think it was.
I think it was Zan O'Brien Cucumber's dad.
What did it
was? Oh, it probably was, yeah.
What did it was?
Nigel Watling.
Mm. What are they showing at the end of this film?
Just the highlights.
You mean the payoff that we're talking about?
So why are they showing all these bits?
Because it's the highlights. It's just giving us. Location catered us.
Fair dues location catered.
I think these are the only bits they recorded.
Jocular design.
In the film, aren't they?
Oh, yeah, you're right. You may well be true.
I think this is the remainder of the rushes for the entire film.
Yeah. I see, look, there's Jeffrey Palmer. These are all shots from just from when they're all setting up.
It's like the B-roll or something.
Looks like they filmed it on a nice night. It's like a nice night.
Yeah.
I shall thanks to the indicator.
Look at all the people they've thanked who've given stuff for free.
So why does Sarah Harding not get to sing something in this song?
I know. I don't think she's much of a singer. Isn't she famous for this getting drunk and falling out of nightclubs?
Yeah, maybe.
Which I quite liked about her. I thought she was having a really good time when she was in that band.
Yeah.
Who?
Sarah Harding. She was always in front of us going like that.
Have we...
Girls Aloud?
Yeah, she's always like Girls Aloud. I love Girls Aloud.
Have we checked out the latest news? On
no, I think we should, though.
I think we should check Run For Your Wife.
Wait, watch this.
Here we go. No, you won't.
No, John Smith will return in caught in the net. No, he won't. No, he didn't.
Was that actually a
stage play? Hang on.
And then cut to Nick Norton.
Nope.
That's a weird pair for the end there.
You know what it's just done there, don't you? There you go, Run For Your Wife.
Wow.
Enjoy it.
That was great.
There's no denying that's a movie.
Wow.
Yeah, well, thank you very much for that. It's good to watch it a second time.
Yeah.
That's the second viewing it's had on DVD in Britain.
Yeah, yeah, and this isn't going to generate any more. Mm-hmm. We're perfectly...
And if a couple of people download that, that's probably double the numbers you've ever
We should make a comment at this point that we don't expect anybody to actually go and get this.
No.
Don't, in fact...
Don't get this.
Don't go and get this.
I think that's mean-spirited of you.
Don't go and get it. Don't blame us.
Yeah.
We didn't do it. Bye, everybody.
Bye.